Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Edward Hopper is known for his iconic portraits of urban life, like the 1941 painting Nighthawks, featuring a late-night diner. But it took a long time for the now legendary artist to find his voice. A new exhibition at the Cape Ann Museum takes us back to a pivotal summer 100 years ago when Hopper met the woman who helped launch his career. WBUR's Andrea Shea has the story.
In the early 1900s, curator Elliot Bostwick Davis says New York artists flocked to Cape Ann, hoping to capture its picturesque landscapes, sea-swept structures, and coveted clarity of light.
In 1923, when Edward Hopper shows up here in Gloucester at the age of 41, he's only sold one painting over a decade earlier. He knows he's really got to really make or break it. He's been persevering, but he hasn't managed to break through.
Another artist was in town with her brushes. 40-year-old Josephine Nivison had crossed paths with Hopper on other New England painting retreats and studied with the same teacher, but they finally met cute thanks to her feline friend.
Jo Nivison had come with her cat, and her cat Arthur escaped onto the back streets of Gloucester. So the story goes that Edward Hopper, whether he captured Arthur or whether he found Arthur, unclear, but in any event, Arthur was returned to a very grateful Jo Nivison.
Like Hopper, Nivison was single, but Davis says they made an unlikely pair.
He was over 6'4", almost 6'5". She was just a little over 5 feet. She said that tall men excited her, so that was something. She was incredibly gregarious. She, in addition to painting and drawing, she loved to dance. She was an amateur thespian. She was very independent.
Nivison would later describe Hopper as being reserved, saying,
"When you spoke with Edward Hopper, it was like putting a stone down a well, but you never heard a drop."
When Hopper reunited Nivison with her cat, he also gave her a hand-drawn map of Gloucester. Their courtship sparked with painting excursions around the city. He usually used oils.
And she said, "Why don't you try watercolor? It's one of the popular mediums." It was her favorite.
Nivison's suggestion was pivotal for Hopper. Now, the duo's watercolors are among 66 works in the exhibition Edward Hopper and Cape Ann, Illuminating an American Landscape. Museum director Oliver Barker is thrilled to host dozens of loans for this deep dive into Hopper's formation.
I think this provides, thanks to Elliot's brilliant scholarship, a new way of looking at Edward Hopper, an artist that we all think we know.
A wall map shows spots where Hopper and Nivison painted, so we head out to follow in their footsteps, passing Victorian homes, a staircase, and a church near the museum that caught the artist's eyes.
So in 1923, Edward Hopper and Jo Nivison must have come down here to this street corner to paint Our Lady of Good Voyage.
He was building up his confidence with watercolor as a medium.
She loves the fluidity of it. She definitely has a different kind of artistic practice, which helps him see his way to becoming more of himself. And I think that spontaneity that Jo was after was really helpful to him.
Nivison also helped launch Hopper's career. She asked the Brooklyn Museum to include her Bose work in its American watercolor show that fall. Back at the gallery, Barker says Nivison made a sacrifice.
Technically, she gave up six of her slots so that six of his pieces should be shown.
The Brooklyn Museum ended up buying Hopper's Cape Ann watercolor titled The Mansard Roof. After this big break, Nivison wanted a summer in Provincetown, but Hopper was set on Gloucester.
They have a huge argument, and she says, "Well, I'll go on one condition, that we get married today." And it's July 9th, 1924.
Nivison became Hopper's model, muse, and producer of his career. Like other 20th century artist wives, Davis says Nivison gave up exhibiting for a time because the art world wasn't as interested in her work.
She was certainly pragmatic, and I think she knew that her watercolors sold for much less, even when she was showing them. And if she could make sure that Edward Hopper was able to continue to paint, he would have a very successful career.
While 57 of his works are in this exhibition, the centerpiece gallery belongs to Nivison.
This we think of as Joe's space.
A few of Nivison's Cape Ann watercolors are here, along with three stunning portraits. Her teacher captured her as a promising 19-year-old art student. Hopper made an oil of his wife painting when she was about 50. We stand back as an assistant curator hangs a self-portrait Nivison executed in her 70s.
You're already with the level. It's fantastic, right?
The idea was to really have her speaking to her earlier selves as she changes. I mean, I also think it's extraordinary. You don't really think of women of this generation painting themselves this way.
Wearing a sheer pink negligee, Nivison stares out from the canvas with a confident gaze. Davis says she never stopped painting and had her first full-scale show in New York in 1958. The Cape Ann Museum celebration of Nivison's often overlooked legacy opens tomorrow, which is also Edward Hopper's birthday. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Andrea Shea.